We don't have to clap this time.
Can we do it?
Just yeah. Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Okay, we did it.
We did it. And now I feel good. I can feel start now.
About this.
So this is our first in person.
Oh my god.
I know. I wonder how it'll change it. Because I feel like when we decided to do this, it was because we'd been like going out and talking mm-hmm. and sort of like interacting. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely different over Skype.
It is different. I'm used to having you in a corner right. of my screen, and now I'm like fresh and direct.
In person
we
here.
We both are wearing lipstick.
I know.
I mean, we got dressed up for each other.
We really did. We're also drinking again, guys. Because you're not a white woman unless you're drinking at 11 o'clock in the morning.
And it is orange juice and some kind of alcohol.
It is some kind of alcohol. Was it Champs? It wasn't Champs.
No.
It's not Champs, guys. We're not going to tell you what it is, but it's not Champs.
But yeah, we haven't done the intro yet.
We haven't done the intro. Okay, wait. I think it's my turn because I made you do it
it's
drunk.
It's your turn. Yeah. It's your turn.
I did. I made you do it drunk, which I don't feel bad about.
Nope.
It was really funny.
That was amazing.
All right. Hey, guys. Welcome to Hellbent, a feminist podcast for those who resist and persist. I'm Devin.
And I'm Sarah.
And we're together in the same room. Yay!
Oh my god, you guys. Usually we're like used to seeing each other in like the corner of our computer screens on Skype.
Yeah.
And we are fresh, direct, and in lipstick.
In lipstick, guys.
We showed up for each other.
You know you're gonna really smash the patriarchy to pieces when you're wearing fucking lipstick, man.
Listen, lipstick is a choice, you know? It's just like any other choice.
It
you
is.
You know, maybe it feeds into some sort of patriarchal notion of femininity, but if it makes you feel better, fuck it.
My husband once told me that he didn't love red lipstick because it's like, I don't know, he's like, it's not natural. I'm like, good, I'm going to wear it every day.
You're like, that's cute that you think.
Yeah, that's cute that, you get a vote.
Nope.
Like, that's fun.
I'm going to wear it even harder.
Exactly.
Oh, Devin.
Yes.
Let's get into this.
Yes. We have some listener feedback.
Yes.
From our drunkisode.
Yes. So, first of all, we had planned for this to be our first drunkisode.
We did.
Because we knew we were going to do it in person and we wanted to commemorate it. But then all that Jeff Sessions shit happened.
Right.
We're like, we have to be hammered for this.
We really do. And it's so funny because I was skiing in Big Bear mm-hmm. with my husband.
yeah.
I took my microphone. I was like, we're going to fucking record. It's
She is committed to sparkle motion.
I am committed to sparkle motion. I bought a bottle of wine at a 7-Eleven next to my hotel in Big Bear.
Yeah. She peer pressured me to drink even more.
I did. I was like, girl, you need to get on my level because I'm literally 8,000 feet up and going snowboarding in the morning.
My thing is I wanted to be drunk enough to like really feel the episode, but not so drunk that I had to pee in the middle of it.
Right.
So
that's the balance. I mean, I feel like that's the balance always.
That's the balance.
Like, you don't want to break the seal too early when you go out
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because then you're just going to spend a whole bunch of time in those long ass ladies room lines.
But then you meet all sorts of fun women.
That's
in those
true.
Lines.
That's really true.
Anyway, we got really good feedback from people liked
did.
The drunk episode, which I think means we have to be alcoholics. At
right.
This point.
I mean, I think we're just going to have to keep doing this.
I mean, I think the Trump administration is forcing us to really hit the bottle.
I'm currently drinking vodka at 11:30 in the morning, yeah. So I think we're well on our way, guys.
But yeah, so we're not going to do a drunkisode every week because it would probably be terrible.
It would hurt.
But so people like the drunkisode. They said, okay, so here's some specific feedback. A woman named, she goes by RB. I don't know her first full name.
Mm-hmm.
She said basically that I was too loud on the drunkisode, and she would be correct. I mean, I listened to it and I was like, holy shit, Sarah. I mean, that's kind of how I am when I'm drunk. So just something
right.
to keep in mind
just
for
loud.
A podcast.
Well, and I also, to give Sarah a little credit here though, like when I edit, normally I do a lot of like balancing, like mm-hmm. audio balancing. And editing while drunk is hard, guys.
Devin told me, she's like, I really thought it sounded great when I was drunk.
I did. I was listening to it. I was like, this is great. This is perfect. I don't affect this.
This is a metaphor for being drunk, I think. Yeah.
It was.
Anyway, so we hear you.
We do.
And
we're working on it, guys.
We're working on the audio optimization, and we agree with you, so thank you.
Yes.
I also loved a listener named Emily. She tweeted at us, and she said, I may or may not have poured myself a large glass of wine yesterday and booze along with a hellbent drunkisode.
Yes.
Like, you guys, we're not encouraging alcoholism, but if you want to imbibe.
If you want to pour yourself a glass of wine and go along with us, we are here for that.
We're really here for that.
Yes, we are.
And then do you want to tell our listeners about Shelby's
Oh, yeah. So Shelby.
Suggestion/feedback?
Yeah. So Shelby tweeted us. I need a fuck this shit o'clock shirt stat. So we were just talking about possibly doing merch, and I was saying it's actually not that hard to set up merch, and Sarah was like,
you guys, I'm broke, so I'm like, is this a business? I'm very concerned, but Devin feels very confident. I'm confident. If there's anyone else out there who wants merch, let us know and like tell us some suggestions that you would buy.
Because I'm thinking, I just want a shirt that says Dickwads. And then like Hellbent on the back.
Yeah, that's something we're thinking about.
That's like our that's my number one.
But yes, thank you, Shelby. Thank you, Emily. Thank you, RB. And thank you, everyone who just gives us feedback, whether it's silly or constructive or complimentary even.
I love it.
We love everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Devin, should we go straight into our gratitude and sanity check?
Well, should we talk about what we're doing today?
Yes.
Okay.
Please.
All right, so today we're going to start with our gratitude and sanity check, like we always do. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to go into ICE raids and what's going on with immigration and all that crazy shit that it's so hard to keep up with.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to go into, besides Russia, I think this is the most bananas things that's happened in this administration, which was Trump claiming that Obama wiretapped the Trump Tower? I don't know.
We're gonna get into that, though.
And then we're gonna do a little Russia development, like, story update. And then, for our last block, we have a reader favorite, the Donald Trump dishonor in deep shame.
Yep, we're gonna do that.
It's gonna be really good.
Yeah.
So, let's start with the sanity check.
Yeah?
Yeah, Sarah, you wanna start?
Okay, so the first sanity check for me is an early front runner for the Maxine Waters Award in Badassery, but since we don't do it till Thursday, I figured at least put it in here.
Oh, yeah.
So there was a Spanish politician who basically shut a male peer down, like shut him the fuck down.
My favorite part of the whole video, which we'll put up so you guys can watch, was before she even said anything, the look on her fucking face.
Every woman recognizes this look of, oh no, he fucking didn't.
Yeah, exactly. And she just like rips off her headphones and she's like, no.
She like takes off her earrings.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like hold my beer.
Yeah, hold my fucking champagne.
Hold my fucking champagne.
Or beer, you know.
Whatever.
Anyway, so for those who don't know this story, there was, I guess an EU discussion or debate on the gender pay gap, of course.
Obviously.
And this, I'm not even going to say his name, A, because I don't know how to pronounce it, B, because he's a dickwad.
Right,
so
who cares?
Who the fuck cares about his name?
Don't Google it.
Just some Polish dickwad. He said, quote, "Women must earn less than men because they are weaker, they are smaller, they are less intelligent." And this Spanish politician was like, oh, fuck no.
Oh, no, no.
And she really served it to him. She said, "I know it hurts and worries you that today women can sit in this house and represent European citizens with the same rights as you. And I am here to defend all European women from men like you."
Yes.
Like, mic fucking drop.
Girl.
Yes. Her name, oh gosh, I'm going to butcher her name. It's, her last name is Garcia Perez. I can't pronounce her first name because I'm terrible.
Yeah.
But I tried to Google it and tried to get a pronunciation. I couldn't find it. So I don't want to butcher it, but we'll put up the story in the video on the site.
Yep.
Her name is a name worth remembering. Not so much for the Polish dickwad.
I can't. Who cares?
The second thing that I loved was the Saturday Night Live sketch on like male feminists.
I loved that. I loved it.
Just before I got into it, there was a thing at the end that I think is a problem that I'm going to discuss. But
yeah.
Okay, so, but before that, the sketch, if you guys don't know, was, it's called Girl at a Bar, and it's this girl who shows up at a bar waiting for her friend, and she gets all these guys approaching her who are, like, seem on the surface, like, really with it and feminist, and she's like...
Wasn't one wearing, like, a pussy hat?
One was wearing a pink pussy hat, and we've talked in the past about the, you know, good things and bad things about sort of that symbol, but, yeah, so she just keeps getting approached by men who are like, you can tell she's kind of like, oh yeah, like this guy seems with it. This guy seems cool. And then they'll be like, you want to go home and like bone later? And she's like, no. And then they'll be like, fuck you, you fucking bitch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the whole point of the sketch is basically that even if a man is progressive, which we've talked about on this podcast, doesn't mean that he's actually feminist.
Right.
So quote unquote progressive.
Look, I mean, like, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. It's really hard for white dudes to be feminists.
Yeah.
It's hard for them. And I try, like, I'm not gonna, like, sit here and say, oh, poor baby, but, like, so when they try to be feminists, I'm not giving them cookies. Like, I know that it's hard, but, like,
yeah,
get it together, guys.
Yeah, so, I mean, essentially the TLDR of it is, okay, a man can present himself as a feminist, and we'll get into this a little bit deeper later.
Mm-hmm.
But he can still sort of have the same problematic issues as the conservative men and feeling entitled to women and all this stuff. So I love this, the sketch, but the end really drove me nuts.
Yeah.
Because the end is the friend showing up and, you know, the girl at the bar is like, oh, thank God you're here. And mm-hmm. then the friend, like, hits on her and does the same shit. And, like, I'm not saying we shouldn't talk about women who might exhibit similar behaviors.
Because they definitely can.
Because, you know, statistically, there's, you know, at least a couple of them, mm-hmm. obviously, that are problematic. But they're, women, statistically speaking, are not quite as problematic as men on that front. And it
right.
also kind of goes, as my sister pointed out, it goes back to this, like, homophobic, queerphobic BS that women who like other women or men who like other men are, like, inherently predatory.
Right, right.
And
exhibit,
bad.
And also that women, in this example, women yeah. who like other women exhibit, like, these manly behaviors. They set up these behaviors as manly.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the joke is that they have a male mindset because they like other women.
Mm. Yeah, which, I think inherently it's just, like, we can't. It's just homo. It's, yeah, it's homophobic.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, queerphobic. It plays into gender stereotypes.
Exactly.
It's very
exactly.
heteronormative.
Right.
Lots of problems. Anyway, and then the last thing, I published my first piece of paid writing.
It was so good, you guys. It was so good.
I'm not going to get into it because, you know, we have lots to talk about, but we'll put it up on the site.
Yep.
The title of it is called The Future is Female and Still Unrelentingly Misogynist. And so I sort of delve into issues around the campaign and the gender biases that permeated throughout that and sort of led to the rise of Donald Trump, among other things, and then how it's still showing up among women now who are politically ascendant and following in her footsteps and how we have to, like, nip that shit in the bud.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's really good, guys. It's worth a read.
Thanks.
Seriously. It's fantastic.
And we'll put it up on the site.
Yes. Yes.
All right, Devin, what about you?
Okay.
What are your gratitude sanity checks?
Well, so sort of going to reader feedback, I didn't put this in, or listener feedback, rather. I didn't put this in the first section because, for me, there was someone, people are like, tweeting me, like, stuff about Russia.
And this is your brand.
I'm like, oh my God, you guys, thank you for understanding me. Like, this is fantastic. Like, Sarah came in and saw my Russian notes on my whiteboard.
You guys, her whiteboard is amazing. We'll tweet it.
We'll tweet it.
Because there's some hilarious stuff on there. It just says dick wads.
It just says dick wads.
In big letters.
Yeah. But this is the shit that I'm living for. And I love when you guys send me articles and mm-hmm. research about Russia. And, like, I'm here for it. You know, like I said, I feel like there's something more to this dickwad Joseph Ackerman.
Yeah, she thinks he's the main dickwad.
I think he's just
the
more...
key.
I think he's a key. I think he's mm-hmm. like Firtash in that he knows more and he's more
operating
involved.
Behind the shadows.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll get into that to another segment another day. But, you know, if you guys have more information about Joseph Ackerman or Russia, please send it to me. I love it. I read all of it. I'm obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, also on Twitter, Joy Reid said something about, like, one day all this Donald Trump Russia cuddling will, you know, something. And just Russia cuddling, I swear to God, I'm putting that on Trump's tombstone. Cuddled Russia.
Cuddled Russia.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing was, there's an article on HuffPost. It was called, Don't Worry, I'll Pull Out. And it was about Donald Trump's lies, like, mm-hmm. the different types of lies. And it was funny. It was talking about, like, kind of putting it in context of this, like, you know, you're having sex with this guy, and you're like, oh, don't worry, I'll pull out. You know, you're not going to get pregnant. And then how that lie morphs into, oh, don't worry, I'll take you to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And so how Trump has sort of reimagined that old,
oh, wow.
Yeah, men are trash lie.
What article is this?
It's on HuffPost.
Oh, interesting.
I think it's called Don't Worry, I'll Pull Out. It's really good. It's definitely worth a read, and it's hilarious.
We'll put it on the site.
We'll definitely put it on the site. So that's what I've been grateful for.
Nice. Okay, you guys, as always, we can't be too happy-go-lucky, because there's a whole bunch of shit.
There's a whole bunch of shit. We're just going to jump right in.
Okay, so our first main block we want to talk about are immigration policies again.
Yes.
So before I came over to Devin's place, we're in her office right now, the Trump administration signed a new executive order. So basically trying to redo this, like, much criticized and legally struck down executive order that banned travel from 7 majority Muslim countries. I think it's 7.
It's 7. Yeah. Well, and also I find it interesting that they were going to release this EO last week, but they had such a good response from the joint Congress.
Yeah.
address that they were like, oh, we're going to ride this high and we're just going to put it off until next week.
Which is so gross on so many levels.
Oh, God. You guys. Like,
you guys.
Policy. Policy. Well, and like you said, like, it's so insulting that Donald Trump doesn't even want this job.
He doesn't even want this job, but he's wreaking all kinds of havoc. And this, so we had planned mostly to talk about a lot of families and people mm-hmm. affected by immigration. We want to do that. I'm still reading and learning more about this executive order.
Well,
so
it literally happened. Like, it literally happened. You were probably in the Lyft.
I was in Lyft.
Yeah.
Not Uber, Lyft.
Lyft.
But just a couple main points. So first of all, he signed it without any media presence.
Right. Which I feel like for me was the first thing I was like, what the fuck?
Which is, you know, people who studied authoritarian states are like,
yep.
You know, attack the media, shut out the media. It's not a great sign.
Yeah. Like I said, media nullification mm-hmm. is step one.
Thing. The other thing is, so they tried to retool it and rework it in the hopes that the courts wouldn't strike it down. So what they did was that they're barring migrants from predominantly Muslim nations, but they're removing citizens of Iraq. So last time, if you remember, Iraq was included, and people were like, really? Like, we bombed this fucking country, and now we're not letting people escape the war that we...
Right. And they were saying also it was making it difficult to cultivate sources in mm-hmm. Iraq, because mm-hmm. a big thing that we can promise them was... citizenship or a visa or
permanent
safety
residency.
For their families. Yeah.
Yeah. And it, and they, so they removed citizens of Iraq from their original travel embargo and scrapped a provision that explicitly protected religious minorities.
Right.
So they also said that this will not affect people who had previously, been issued visas.
Right.
And so they hope that that will help them make it more, I guess, legally seamless.
Right.
I don't know if they will be,
I mean,
successful in that.
A big thing that the Trump administration, with any executive order, this iteration, last iteration, whatever,
mm-hmm.
the problem is that the courts look at context
mm-hmm.
and intent.
Mm-hmm.
And so the things that Trump said on the campaign trail
right.
and his rhetoric around banning Muslims mm-hmm. and sort of this more insidious intent.
Mm. You're saying they look into that?
They do.
Oh, interesting.
Courts take context.
They don't just look at, like, the legal...
No.
Interesting.
Yeah, they do take context into account. And so that's a big problem for mm-hmm. the Trump administration
mm-hmm.
because he said all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're trying to put this EO, these executive orders through.
EO. Mm-hmm.
But the context is still the same.
Mm-hmm.
So they're having issues. So when you... So if you watch them, they're trying to, like...
Finagle
a little bit, but it's not... I mean, it might work. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. It's like we said, we're still learning more.
Yeah.
We're still, I think, you know, on Thursday's show,
we'll have
learned
a little
more.
Yeah.
The only other thing I'll add is that it still excludes all the countries that have business ties to Trump.
Yes,
and
it
that
does.
Have actually produced terrorists.
Right.
Onto him, which shouldn't necessarily be a, you know, just because
right.
a Saudi Arabia terrorist was responsible for an attack on the United States doesn't mean we should ban people from Saudi Arabia.
But if we're going to use that logic,
exactly.
Like, let's apply it evenly.
But they, you guys, again, there's no logic to this.
Right.
It's only xenophobia, racism, Islamophobia, all
right.
that horrible shit.
And so, also, and I say this about Russia, but let's say this about this too. Let's follow the money, guys.
Follow the money.
And see where the money is,
mm-hmm.
where the money is going,
mm-hmm.
and how that affects these sort of executive orders.
Yeah.
And just remember that context is still important. It's important to the courts.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to this whole discussion.
Yeah.
So it's really important.
The other thing, so I want to go quickly over a couple of other stories.
Mm-hmm.
So that before that this new EO got signed, this executive order, so there was a Reuters report that the Department of Homeland Security had proposed separating women and children crossing illegally into the United States from the border.
Yeah, and that it was supposed to deter mothers
from migrating to the U.S.
Right, because if they're going to be separated from their children, they
mm-hmm.
they wouldn't risk it.
Yeah, and that is really, really, really disturbing.
It's disturbing
it's
and dangerous.
And, like, these people think they're Christians?
Yeah.
Is that a fucking Christian thing to
that
do?
That is not a fucking Christian
thing. I'm a Jew. I feel like I'm more Christian than these motherfuckers.
Absolutely. And honestly, like, no matter what your religion is,
mm-hmm.
like, separating a mother or father from their
mm-hmm.
children
mm-hmm.
is absolutely despicable.
It's really, really, really inhumane. And it's also, I don't think it will deter people
it won't.
Very much from crossing. I mean, there's so many economic issues and,
yeah.
you know, drug cartels and violence that's
right.
what people are escaping.
Exactly.
They're seeking asylum. They're seeking a better life.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, you know, I Like God, I hope that I would never be in that situation. Mm-hmm. But if it came down to protecting my son from violence or mm-hmm. drugs mm-hmm. or, you know, economic hardship mm-hmm. and being separated from him, I would choose being separated from him every time.
Mm. So, yeah, so you're saying it wouldn't deter you as a mother.
It wouldn't. Right. I mean, I would take that risk if it meant getting him away from mm-hmm. these serious issues.
Yeah. And just a little statistics. Between October 1st, 2016 and January 31st, 2017... 54,000 children and their guardians were apprehended, which is more than double the number caught over the same period of time. So there's no signs that this is going to slow down.
Exactly.
This is just going to be inhumane. And just another additional context to that, Trump has also called for ending quote-unquote catch and release.
Right.
In which migrants who cross illegally are freed to live in the U.S. while they're going through legal proceedings. So they're not detained indefinitely. They're,
right.
So anyway, there's a lot of really, really inhumane shit around that.
Yeah.
And not actually solving for a problem.
Absolutely. And also, again, you guys, I love talking about the money, mm-hmm. but not only is this inhumane, mm-hmm. but I would be super interested on how Trump would like to pay for this.
Yep.
So if you don't catch and release, quote unquote, which I think is disgusting to talk about humans
right.
in
yes.
that kind of term.
100%.
But like to use that terminology, their mm-hmm. terminology,
mm-hmm.
and you want to detain them,
mm-hmm.
where?
Yeah.
How do we feed them?
Well, and that's another thing. So mm-hmm. private prisons, that's a whole right. other thing we'll get into. But
yeah.
Yeah. So, but you're right. Like he wants to like cut taxes, but increase spending. And
right.
it's like, that's just economics 101.
Exactly.
You can't do that.
You just can't.
Just a couple of other stories mm-hmm. along that note. So we know that ICE has been sort of increasing their presence and
yes.
their sort of arrests and detention. So two stories. There was an immigrant arrested by ICE in L.A., actually,
mm-hmm.
After he was dropping his daughter off from school. He dropped his 12-year-old daughter off, and then his other daughter, who was in the car with him, they had to pull over a couple blocks away from school, filmed it, crying, mm. watching her dad get arrested.
Right. Well, and so ICE has this longstanding policy that, mm-hmm. you know, directing agents to generally avoid mm-hmm. conducting, you mm-hmm. know, arresting people at sensitive locations like churches, hospitals, and schools.
Yep.
So, you know, and that I feel like is a pretty decent human policy.
But this administration has no decency or humanity,
right.
clearly.
And so this is kind of an indication that are they loosening those rules? Like, mm-hmm. is there some internal memo that's saying, like, okay, like, go ahead.
Yeah, and it's like, what else are they?
What else are they saying? Like, we, you know?
Yeah.
What don't we know?
And another story, 22-year-old Daniela Vargas is, her father and brother were detained a couple of weeks ago, and she spoke out about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because she spoke out about it, she got targeted, too. And she had come to the U.S. from Argentina when she was 7. So she's been in this country almost her whole life.
Right.
And she had previously had a work permit and a deportation reprieve from DACA.
Mm-hmm.
And her DACA status had expired last November. And because she was saving money for the renewal, which is about $500,
mm-hmm.
her new application wasn't received until after.
Right. And for me, this story says two things. One, mm-hmm. so someone speaks out, now they're targeted.
Yep.
That's what Russia does,
mm-hmm.
guys. Let's just be clear.
Mm-hmm.
You speak out, you get targeted.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that a little bit later.
And I think immigrants in general just feel nervous about doing stuff like that. Showing
exactly.
up to protests, speaking out.
Right. Also, you know, this $500 fee is interesting mm-hmm. to me. So they call Rikers, this is kind of off topic, but
mm-hmm.
They call Rikers in New York the pauper's pinch.
Mm.
Because a lot of people will get arrested on minor drug busts
mm-hmm.
or prostitution, and they'll set their bail at
$1,000,
which is completely unattainable
yeah.
for a lot of these people.
Yeah.
And so, but basically, if I were to get arrested on a minor drug bust
yeah.
and my bail was set at $1,000,
yeah.
I would be out in hours.
Right.
So it's basically creating a system where
yeah.
We are putting an economic barrier to justice.
To freedom and justice.
Right.
And actually, just on that note, the father who was arrested outside the school, he was the main breadwinner for
right.
the family. And so they don't know how they're going to get income.
Right.
And that's another thing. Not only are you separating families, you're affecting their livelihoods.
Yeah.
And it's really horrible. I really want to read Daniela Vargas' statement,
yeah.
the 22-year-old who is... likely to be deported.
Right.
Because I think this really puts a humane aspect on it.
Absolutely.
If you haven't gotten that sense already. This will really... So she said, I don't understand why they don't want me. I'm doing the best I can. I mean, I can't help that I was brought here, but I don't know anything else besides being here. And I didn't realize that until I was in a holding cell last night for 5 hours. I was brought here. I didn't choose to be here. And when I was brought here, I had to learn a whole new country and leave behind the one that I did know. And I barely knew that one. So Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I strongly feel that I belong here, and I strongly feel that I should be given a chance to be here and do something good and work in this economy. There's so much that I can bring to the table, so much, like I can even teach music. I'm an excellent trumpet player. You can ask my mom about any of that. I'm great with math. I speak Spanish. You know, there's a lot of stuff that I can do for this country, and they're not allowing me to do it. I've even tried to join the military, and I can't do that. But I mean, that's not the point. The whole point is that I would do anything for this country. I just got chills reading
me
that.
Me too. Well, and also, it's really funny because for me, like, I read that, but hearing you say that.
Yeah.
So, my baby sister is 22.
Yeah. Tegan.
No, Kaylee.
Oh, Kaylee. Oh, yeah, my gosh.
I know.
Sorry. She has a few other siblings.
Yeah.
Wow.
But my baby sister is 22 and is an excellent trumpet player. Mm. And, you know, is...
You think about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the sort of parallels. Like, my 22-year-old sister is in college and, you know, she has a research position and she's great. But, like, she's not that different from this woman. Like,
100%.
Why is it... She's not different.
Like I said, this is not Christian.
It's
in
not.
My opinion. It's just... And, you know, I think you having that story, that relation to your sister is you know, makes it more real. But,
right.
Like... I wish Republicans and these people knew it shouldn't have to be that. You shouldn't
to
just say, like, I can see myself, if I were in a war-torn country or
right.
a country where I didn't have any economic opportunities, or if I was just brought here.
Right.
She was brought here.
When she was seven.
When she was seven. She doesn't know her home country.
Yeah. And you know what 7-year-olds get decisions about? Literally nothing.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you're like, I'm a mom.
Yeah, they barely get to choose what they wear. Like, let me just put it that way.
So I think we really have to keep the humane aspect in it.
Yes.
The last thing on this topic that I
yes.
really want to quickly go through. So there is a story that I don't know if you guys have heard about, but there is a story from the Washington Post that tens of thousands of immigrants detained by ICE were forced to work for $1 a day or nothing at all, which is a violation of federal anti-slavery laws. This is what a lawsuit claims.
Mm-hmm.
It was filed in 2014, actually. So this is a result
right.
of sort of like that private prison government
yep.
contract thing that's going to be an issue moving forward,
absolutely.
Especially with Jeff Sessions still in the DOJ.
Oh, man.
But now it's reached, after the federal judge's ruling this week, it has reached class action status.
Right.
So at the heart of this dispute is a private prison facility, I believe, or a contract detention facility in Aurora, Colorado, which is owned and operated under a contract with ICE.
Right.
And
then Geo Group, which owns that, which had mm-hmm. that contract, they're the ones who, they run a lot of the private prisons
yes.
in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And the, not just ICE detentions, but like actual prisons. So,
yeah.
And that's a whole other topic, but
yeah.
I just wanted to point that out, that Geo Group... It's not just this one center or
mm-hmm.
not just contracts with ICE.
Yeah, and we know that Attorney General, or if he still fucking is Attorney General, he shouldn't be. He loves private prisons, which I, you know, hope he fucking gets thrown in one.
Me too.
But because of that and because of just the sheer inhumanity of all these stories and increase in ICE agents rounding up immigrants, it's important to keep this lawsuit in mind, because private prisons that have government contracts stand to really benefit from this increase in deportation activity.
Well, yeah, I mean, stocks in private prison companies and companies that run these sort of facilities jumped
mm-hmm.
after Trump was elected
yep.
and jumped after the first executive order was signed.
Yep.
And or not exactly. Whatever.
The point is that people, very bad people, stand to
yep.
enrich themselves and profit.
Yes.
And this is another wrinkle in that. So the Department of Homeland Security has already located 20,000 more beds for the indefinite detention of those seeking asylum.
Right.
Which is a 500% increase from current capacity.
And
so they're planning for it.
Yeah. And do you know how many year-round beds there are for the homeless population in Los Angeles?
No, I don't.
There are about 2,500.
Wow.
And Mayor Garcetti is actually working to expand that number and to create more year-round homeless bed, like homeless shelters with beds for 2,500 people.
Speaking of, if you live in Los Angeles, there is an election tomorrow.
Tomorrow, show up.
Show up, vote, do your research. We'll put up some resources on the site.
Absolutely. We'll do a whole blog post about it.
But
so just to keep, to put that in context.
Yeah.
So 2,500 beds for the homeless population of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working to expand that. DHS has gotten 20,000 beds.
Additional. On top of what we already have.
I mean,
yeah.
I would literally give my left arm for 20,000 beds in homeless shelters in Los Angeles.
Or just, yeah, exactly.
Like, and what are we doing, you guys?
More humane policies.
Like, what are we doing? You know, and then, you know, it's just sort of like, okay, cool. So now it's not just a James Bond movie.
No.
It's not just an Onion article. Now we're in an episode of Law & Order SVU.
Yes, that is actually just Law & Order, the franchise in general.
I mean, I specifically remember an episode about illegal immigrants being detained and forced to work in like 2007.
And this is not entertainment.
It's not entertainment. This isn't funny.
It's not funny. It's real life. And again,
I'm making a joke, but it's not funny.
It's not funny at all. You know, read about all this stuff. Show up for your neighbors, your friends, your community. Devin, we have so much other things to talk about. Can we get into Trump and his wiretapping. His batshit wiretapping?
I mean, okay.
Where do we even start with this?
This is also not funny, although I find it funnier because it's just so, like, when I first saw it, I swear to God, I thought it was an Onion article. I thought, like, I literally thought that someone was punking me.
Yeah.
And I'm reading this and I'm like, there's no way.
This person's our president.
Yeah. So, basically, Trump tweeted, it was like 5 in the morning, too. It was definitely like a coke-induced Twitter rage.
He's coke and, again, we tried to name this podcast coke-induced Twitter rage. We settled on hell then.
Right.
Which is similar.
But, and he literally, at 5 in the morning, was like, Obama had illegally tapped Trump Tower. Sick, disgusting, sad. I don't even know if that's exactly what he said, but that was the punchline.
Close enough.
You've got to, and the thing is this comes right after, you know, he had this great, quote-unquote, pivot. And this black woman at the focus group who was like, fuck you, I'll see you on Twitter. Yeah. Yes.
You guys.
Yes.
Another fucking reason to listen to black women. Because all these white pundits, mostly male, but also, I'm looking at you, Katie Turr.
Yeah, come on, Katie Turr.
They were like, oh, this is more presidential. Wow, he's, like, really shown a new side. Literally, this is, like, less than 72 hours. I'm doing a jerk-off motion right now.
I can see it. Yeah, I can see it right now.
But I tweeted this the other day. I'm like, this is why I feel qualified to write professionally on politics.
Yes.
Because there are people paid thousands, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars to say, you know what, Donald Trump, you sounded real presidential.
Super presidential.
And it's like, no, all you motherfuckers are part of the problem.
Yes.
This is my problem with the media. They're going to save us, but they're also part of our problem.
I know. It's a whole other thing.
Topic. I do love what Jake Tapper had to say about all this.
Okay, zero fucks. Jake Tapper is still my favorite Jake Tapper.
You guys, we don't always love Jake Tapper, but when he gives zero fucks,
oh my God,
we love him.
Seriously. I think Samantha Bee put it best. She's like, ooh, who put a nickel on Jake Tapper?
Yeah.
Woke him up.
I know. So I'm just going to read what he tweeted. He said, White House officials with whom I spoke said POTUS got the info about wiretap from the media. So Breitbart, basically, which is not like a real outlet.
You
it's
guys,
like a fucking...
Stop trying... Gretchen, stop trying to make Breitbart happen.
Oh my God, it's never going to happen. But it also produced our president.
I know, so...
But he said he didn't get it from government sources. Most reporters I know are digging on this. Like,
right.
They're trying to figure out if there are government sources.
Right.
And he said, but every current intel voice is saying that they know of nothing to back up this claim.
Mm-hmm.
And then he added, we cannot pretend we haven't seen this here before, with POTUS putting out wild accusations that are untethered to reality. So birtherism, like millions of people voting illegally.
This is distraction 101, guys. All this shit happens with Sessions. All this shit happens with Russia. And all this, like, dust is being kicked up.
Yeah.
And so what does Trump do? He goes, well, Obama tapped my house. Like, no! Fuck you!
I actually don't buy into the distraction.
No.
Because I think he's just deeply paranoid
and
idiotic.
Like, I think you're not giving him enough... Like, I'm giving him too much credit.
I don't think he's a master manipulator of the press. I think he's just batshit bananas.
That's fair.
And that's totally fair. And as we'll talk about later, Roger Stone, a close ally of his, tweeted something really fucking stupid.
This is...
It's anyway.
Okay, we'll get into it.
And just another couple wrinkles here. So James Clapper, who's a former director of National Intelligence, backed this up. He said there's no secret intelligence warrants regarding Trump. And then an Obama spokesman said a cardinal rule of the Obama administration was that no White House official ever interfered with any independent investigation led by the DOJ.
Right.
But here's where it gets interesting. Because it is quite possible that Trump has played himself.
Right. Okay. Okay, so your rep.
Yes, my rep Ted Lieu, you guys.
Whom we love.
We love.
We love. Minus his little, like, foray into armchair mental diagnosis. Yeah. But whatever.
Yeah.
I'll forgive you, Ted Lieu, because you are that cool.
Yeah. He, do you want to tell everyone what my rep Teddy Lieu said?
So he goes, on Twitter, he goes, if there is a wire trap at Trump Tower, that means a federal judge found probable cause of a crime, which means you are in deep shit.
Yeah. Like, Trump may have actually played his hand.
Yeah.
And played, or revealed.
Right. What's going on here?
That Obama himself did not order this, because the president wouldn't or couldn't.
You literally can't.
It has to go through FISA, which is a secret court for the intelligence community. Right. So it's a federal court that oversees requests for surveillance warrants against foreign spies inside the U.S. So what Trump is basically saying is, FISA court probably had a warrant for me.
Because I'm a foreign goddamn spy.
Yeah, exactly. And so, just to cap this off, Matthew Miller, who's one of my new favorite Twitter follows, he's a former DOJ spokesman. He said, he tweeted someone who said, the president has authority to declassify any classified information in the federal government. And then Matthew Miller said, and by confirming it publicly, Trump has also pretty much guaranteed that no one can be charged for leaking the existence of this FISA warrant.
Right.
So Trump is, like, actually, his deeply paranoid self is actually setting the stage for more information about why he might be a fucking Putin puppet.
I think I love Matthew Miller.
I know.
I mean, because normally, like, on Twitter, like, the former, like, DOJ spoke, like, the former, like, government guys are usually pretty dry.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, whatever.
Yeah.
I kind of am loving this.
Yeah.
This, like, sass.
Totally. And then just the last thing that I think is important to talk about is now, Noted dickwad. James Comey.
Love him. I'm kidding.
No, we fucking hate him.
I fucking hate him.
He can literally go fuck himself.
Yes.
Because I can't imagine any self-respecting person who would want to.
Exactly. So he just have to do it himself.
Anyway.
It's fine.
James Comey is like, oh shit. I helped install this motherfucker. And
he's just like, I'm going to look at my life, I'm going to look at my choices, I'm just like lay down for a minute.
I hope he does. I hope he fucking hates himself, because I fucking hate him.
I hate him, yeah.
But he asked the Department of Justice, which, again, Jeff Sessions oversees, to reject Trump's wiretapping claims. He says that, this New York Times article says, it's a remarkable rebuke of a sitting president, putting the nation's top law enforcement official in a position of questioning Trump's truthfulness. Which basically Comey's saying to tell the Department of Justice to tell everyone that Trump lied.
Right.
Which is, like, that is remarkable.
Right. I mean, and the thing is like, okay, so now the question is, will Jeff Sessions do it?
Well, and Jeff Sessions has recused himself.
From Russia. No. Only very narrow. Mm. Jeff Sessions recused himself for any inquiry about Russia and Russian ties.
Russia?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So I don't, so it would be interesting, because then if Jeff Sessions says, well, I recused myself from this, then we know, well, okay, does this have something to do with Russia? Because he only recused himself from any Russia-related inquiries.
Yeah, so we don't know where that responsibility would lie.
Right.
We know that Comey is asking the DOJ to do that. A couple notes for me. It's very interesting that he's doing all this backdoor maneuvering when he had no problem sending a very public letter about Hillary's Nothing Burger emails.
Nothing Burger.
Like, why don't he, you know, you could go out and say it yourself.
Sure.
But he's not doing that because clearly there's some partisanship there, as fucking Harry Reid said.
Wait, are you kidding? There's partisanship going on here?
Dickwads on dickwads.
On dickwads. Dick I hate that.
The other thing, speaking of white male dickwads, so
just to add to the list,
Joe Scarborough, who is definitely a little cozy with Trump.
Oh, yeah, he kind of is.
But sometimes, occasionally, he'll come out hard against him, but this was very revealing. He tweeted, did Trump just trash the 44th president and slime American democracy based on a conspiracy theory pushed on talk radio and website? That's sick. You guys, That's how Trump started his political career.
The literally.
With birtherism. How are we shocked by this?
I mean,
yes, this was like 8 or 10 years ago.
I know. It's like, guys, please stop being so stupid.
Literally, white men, stop being so fucking
it's
stupid.
It's like, takes a lot of my time and energy to call you this stupid all the time.
Oh my God. So anyway, that's the whole thing with wiretapping. Mm. Let's get into the Russia.
No, well, Roger Stone, really fast.
Okay, get into Roger Stone before we get into Russia.
Yeah, just because I thought it was... I just thought it was funny.
So do you want to tell everyone what happened with Roger Stone on Twitter?
Yeah, so he basically tweeted something that alluded to the fact that the Trump campaign was in cahoots with WikiLeaks mm-hmm. and the Assange leaks of the DNC emails. Yeah. And he started this tweet with, "You stupid bitch."
Yeah, so, okay, actually...
Back up a little bit.
So my Twitter friend, mm-hmm. her name's Caroline, she's at RVA Wonk. So she unfortunately got embroiled in all this.
Oh, goody.
She's been keeping track of all this Russia ties. Roger Stone is...
I feel like we should sit down and have lunch.
I know. He was a close advisor, I believe, of Trump.
Yes, and so he was.
She didn't even tag him, but he like came in studs up on her mentions and like basically called mm-hmm. her a stupid bitch and like that he had perfectly legal back channel to Julian Assange. So he basically admitted...
Yep.
Probably illegal things.
Yeah, well, and you know, I keep saying it. I've said it, I've been listening to our like previous episodes and I realize how many times I've said this. So let me just say it again. People can fucking read.
Yeah.
Like,
people can read your tweets.
He deleted it.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, but also this is the internet and we're petty as shit and we screenshot things.
Twitter is forever, guys.
Twitter is forever.
I think also lost in it, this is just the sheer naked misogyny and all.
Oh, absolutely. Well, like I said, I mean, he started this tweet with, "You stupid bitch."
Yeah.
Like, before getting into any of the meat.
Yeah. And then he, like, went after Ana Navarro, who's, like, a CNN commentator and...
Also my favorite person in the whole world.
Yeah, she's very anti-Trump. I love the Huffington Post headline, which is just, "Former Trump advisor Roger Stone admits collusion with WikiLeaks, then deletes it." Like, he just... Again, you guys, this is why I don't think they're master manipulators and that they distract people, because they're just fucking idiots.
It's really stupid. It's really stupid. Like, when I have to sit here and remind you that people can read, like, we have problems.
Yeah.
But, okay, so now let's get into the Russia stuff. I just thought that was kind of, like...
Yeah, so
funny,
this,
I mean...
This sets us up for a couple of stories around Russia.
Yeah.
That I think are kind of background, but we should pay close attention to.
Yeah, I mean, so the thing about Russia, and, you know, I have this whole thing on my whiteboard, and mm-hmm. there are a few things, like, I have some notes about what I think are red herrings, mm-hmm. what I think are not, mm-hmm. and so some of the stuff is probably superfluous, but some of it's really integral, and since we don't really know, I think just talking about all of it.
Yeah, so the first story, so I don't know if you guys are familiar with the man named Vladimir, his name is also Vladimir, Kara-Murza.
Mm-hmm.
So he is a journalist slash activist who was poisoned in 2015,
mm-hmm.
had all his fucking organs shut down,
yep.
was sent to the United States to recovered. Like, he was going to die.
Well, and he was sent to the United States. The United States got involved.
Right.
And worked, like...
To help him.
To help get him to the United States to recover.
Right. And so he had to, like, learn how to walk again and all mm-hmm. this stuff. He had, like, nerve damage, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, the same fucking thing happened to him, like, a month or two ago.
Yeah.
He was likely poisoned again. And he almost died again.
Yes.
Which is... And he gave an exclusive interview to NBC, and he said, "I wish I didn't remember the first few hours both times of sort of how my body responded to the alleged poison, because those were the most horrible ones. I could feel myself dying."
Right.
Which is, so this is important because, as we know, Russia targets opponents and whistleblowers and journalists mm-hmm. and kills them.
Right.
There's nothing confirmed, but it happens enough where we're pretty sure this is what's happening.
Well, and Vladimir Kara-Murza was connected to one of Putin's main political opponents, Boris...
Oh, the guy who also died?
Yeah, well, he was shot.
Mm-hmm.
He was shot in cold blood right outside of the Russian Parliament building.
Yes.
And he was Putin's only major competitor for president.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what year?
I think it was...
His last re-election?
I think it was 2014. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Don't quote me on this, and I will make sure that I put up all of the, like, confirmed information.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was 2014. He was shot dead in the street steps outside of the Russian parliament.
Yes, I remember reading about that. And yeah. And just speaking of, you know, another Putin opponent for the most recent re-election yes. campaign, which I believe is happening either next year or the year after.
Yes, it's coming up.
His name is Alexei Navalny, or Alexei Navalny. Alexei mm-hmm. Navalny. He was basically charged with some bullshit embezzlement charges, so he can't run against him for president
now. And these embezzlement charges had already been dismissed twice by this court.
Right.
So this is also evidence of the government and Putin interfering with the judicial, the independent judiciary.
And like we said, Russia doesn't have our system of a truly independent court.
Right.
It's often very politically motivated, yes. and it sort of reinforces Putin's power. Mm-hmm. He actually did something really bold.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch the segment on Rachel Maddow?
I did not.
Okay. We're going to put up the clip because it's actually fascinating. And yeah. Rachel, so he put up an hour-long video online okay. with English translation, and Rachel Maddow was like, I watched the whole thing.
Right.
So Alexei Navalny, who now can no longer run for president right. or prime minister against Putin because right. he switches back and forth
right.
to keep power.
Exactly.
Because there's term limits. So he got some drones and started filming. So Putin's number two, so the guy who switches off being mm-hmm. prime minister and president,
right.
but, like, lets him run the show.
Right.
He filmed a bunch of his properties, like, there's, like, a winter palace in Sochi, there's, mm-hmm. like, a vineyard in Tuscany, there's, like, three or four, at least, like, grand properties.
Yeah.
You guys, government salaries, they're substantive, but they're not, like, to the point where you can afford
no.
vineyards, expansive vineyards in Tuscany.
Absolutely not. I mean, the, you know, side note, with the President of the United States, I mean, they make way less than a CEO of a major corporation
right.
makes.
It's still six figures.
It's six figures, but honestly, for the amount of work they do and the number of hours yeah. they work, it's actually not that much money.
It's actually not. And, you know, Rachel Maddow was saying in the segment, everyone you talk to sort of within the global affairs
mm-hmm.
community says Putin is by far the richest man in the world.
Yep.
We just don't know where his money is hidden necessarily, or at least it's not fully confirmed.
Right.
There are some ideas, there's some whatever.
Yeah, it kind of pokes through in some of these stories about, like, mm-hmm. Deutsche Bank mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. money laundering. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we don't know.
And so this, what Alexei Navalny is doing by filming, drone filming
mm-hmm.
of all these properties is he's showing people that this is how rich they are.
Right.
This is how corrupt they probably are.
Right.
Which is really bold because, again, Putin fucking targets and kills his opponents.
His political opponents. And he knows that. And so this also, I just wanted to say this really mm-hmm. fast because this is the sort of bravery
yeah.
that we need.
Mm-hmm.
This is dangerous and this is scary and this is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the sort of boldness and bravery. Like in our country, Maxine Waters.
Maxine Waters, again.
Well, she's speaking out, and she's being yeah. very vocal, and that's the sort of bravery. I mean, in Russia, it's just like, you could be killed for doing that.
Right. In Russia, it's actually understandable why you would be nervous about
right.
this, because people are literally killed by the government. But now, we're also, like Devin said, we're seeing these, like, similar proto-fascist signs
yep.
that are really concerning, and we have to speak out, because we can't let our country get to that point.
Exactly. And so, being bold, being courageous... Mm-hmm. You know, saying...
CC Republicans.
CC Republicans,
like,
all of them.
Get your fucking shit together.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really crazy.
And it's just a reminder of the financial entanglements that probably do exist between Putin and Trump.
Oh,
which is
yeah.
why he's soft on Russia.
Absolutely. I mean, again, I don't want to get into all of it, but Deutsche Bank mm-hmm. is deeply entrenched in all of this.
Wilbur Ross. Who's the Commerce Secretary.
Yeah, Secretary of Commerce, was the majority shareholder of the Bank of Cyprus.
Mm-hmm.
Deutsche Bank whole is Donald Trump's largest creditor.
Mm-hmm.
That's public knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
How does that all factor in? It's very...
Hence why we feel like there needs to be an independent investigation.
Absolutely.
Bipartisan commission, much like the 9/11 one.
Right.
Hopefully, you guys keep pushing your representatives on
Call
it.
Them.
Keep calling them.
Call them.
Even Democratic ones, you gotta steal their spines.
It's so true. So my representative is Ben Sherman, who I live in the Valley,
mm-hmm.
in sort of like a suburban,
yeah.
like, very sweet, lots of families,
yeah.
like, whatever. And so our representative is very, like, this, like, sweet, like, middle-aged man who's, like, very smart and very boring.
Yeah.
But I love him. He's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I called him and was like, look.
Dude.
Dude. dude, I care.
Yeah. Like, let's keep pushing.
Exactly. And then one last quick Russia update. We have a dickwad update on Dmitry Firtash.
Oh my gosh, give us the dickwad update.
My favorite person. So it's
favorite.
It's a least favorite person. It's not much of an update, but it basically there was this expert speaking, and I'll put the article up. But if Austria, remember when we last left Firtash, he had been arrested by the Spanish government
right.
on money laundering charges.
Right.
And the Austrian government has to decide if they're going to extradite him to Spain or the U.S.
Right.
And so there's this expert on Russian policy basically saying that Firtash is a liability.
Mm.
And that if he is extradited to the United States, it's likely that Russia will, quote, liquidate this asset.
Oh, what does that mean?
Right?
That sounds really creepy.
It's super creepy. And it's probably, I mean, that's probably a nice way of saying murder.
Yeah.
But, or it could just mean, again, follow the money, guys.
Yeah, there's actually, we're not going to go into this today, but there's reports that another Russian with ties to Trump is dead.
Yeah.
Which is now 8. We only a couple of blogs have picked it up.
Yeah.
This particular guy is Brian Cohen's father-in-law, and Brian Cohen is a brother of Trump's personal lawyer. So yeah. We're not going to go into that because there's only a couple of blogs that picked that up. We
yeah.
want to confirm some things, but lots of people around Trump yes. and connected to Trump with Russia are turning up dead.
Turning up dead, and I think that there's a larger context that we can put this in.
Yeah.
And we'll definitely speak on that on Thursday.
Thursday, later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, Devin. Should we get into, speaking of all these dickwads, we cover so many dickwads on any given podcast.
We really do.
There's so many, you guys.
There's so many.
Should we get into our Donald Trump Dishonor in Deep Shame award?
Yes. Yes, let's do that. Is okay. it a war? Is it an award?
It's award question mark.
Yeah, award.
So this one is a little bit different. Usually mm-hmm. we give it to a Republican dickwad.
Yes, we do.
Which
because
there are many.
There are many. But, you know, there are also many liberal dickwads.
Quote-unquote liberal dickwads.
Quote-unquote. That's good. They're not really
because
liberal.
Because, as we know, as our, you know, one of our favorite writers, Sadie Doyle, points out, sexism and misogyny and racism, all that stuff transcends political ideology.
It really does. It doesn't matter who you voted for, you can still be a dickwad.
As that SNL skit showed, the quote-unquote feminist men can be just as bad,
just as
if
bad.
Not worse.
Exactly. So, would you like to announce?
Yes. So, our Donald Trump Dishonor and Deep Shame Award, goes to, quote-unquote, male feminist Jamie Kilstein.
Right.
But I'd actually never heard of until this story came
yeah,
out.
Me neither. I didn't listen to
Citizen Radio.
I didn't listen to Citizen Radio. So, like, I know what Citizen Radio is, but I didn't know who this dickwad was.
Yeah, so just, if you don't know this story or who Jamie Kilstein is, so he's a comedian, and he's, like, a lauded feminist. Like, there have been
yeah.
plenty of articles written about, like, oh, this is how men should, like, be, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, I believe, departed the Citizen Radio podcast
mm-hmm.
Because there was allegations of manipulation and abuse from multiple women.
Yeah.
And so his co-host is this woman named Allison Kilkenny, who was once his wife.
Yes.
They're separated, they're divorced, but
right.
they still did this podcast. So she announced his departure on her Facebook page. She said that there were, like, murmurs of Kilstein's abuse in the past, but because it was all sort of anonymous. It was
right.
all sort of not, I guess, it was all just whispers.
Right.
She didn't know what to do with
it. Can't really substantiate it.
It couldn't be substantiated, but now, so she said she was never able to learn the full scope of what happened, but she now, I guess some women have come forward to her.
Yes.
And so she asked Kilstein to leave the show to seek mm-hmm. therapy and apologize publicly. He's refused to do the latter, which, of course, dickwad's gonna dickwad. So she wrote the post, and she basically was like, I'm really sorry that if I, you know, sort of enabled this, if
right.
I, this is not okay, which
right.
is, you know, the ultimate step she took was the right one.
Right.
So this article that we got from Daily Dot noted that multiple pieces on why feminism needs male allies, including from Daily Dot, from Everyday Feminism, from Mike, from Slate, propped Kilstein up
right.
as a classic example of feminist allyship.
Right.
But this is just another example of how women can't even trust quote-unquote allies.
Absolutely. And it is really, this story in particular hurts my heart a little bit
mm-hmm.
because, again, reading about Kilstein and how he was such this lauded male feminist.
Yep.
It does. It just really like takes like the wind out of your sails a little bit.
It kind of confirms what you know, which is that you should be suspicious of all men.
Exactly.
And which, you should be careful and guarded. Right. And now especially with men, or we've sort of known this with, and I'll get into this, but with the political campaign, there were plenty of quote-unquote Bernie bros who were just as sexist, just as misogynistic.
Right.
But who claimed to be progressive.
Exactly. And so it just, like I said, it just kind of, like, deflates you a little bit to just be reminded that, like, even
the quote-unquote good guys are actually among the worst.
Exactly. And it's just, it's very frustrating.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't. It's just sad. It just makes me sad.
It's sad on a lot of fronts. I'm, you know, glad that Kilkenny took that step to get him off.
Absolutely. I'm not saying that we shouldn't call it out when
it
happens.
It's just depressing as a woman.
It's just depressing.
It's very depressing as a woman. It's something good to keep in mind. This also reminded me of a story last week that I don't know if you've heard about, but this former Intercept writer was found to, he didn't make a ton of them. It was like, I guess, 3 to 8.
Okay.
So he wasn't the one making all the bomb threats on JCC centers.
Right.
But he did it on a few. Mm-hmm. And he basically did it to get back at his ex-girlfriend. Which, so, okay, here's the thing. If you don't know about The Intercept, good, because they're fucking dickwads.
You can't see me right now, but I'm burying my face.
She's
in my
literally
hands.
Hand on face.
Hand on face.
A lot of Intercept writers are harass women and people of color online, especially black women.
Yes.
Especially this guy named Li Feng, especially.
Yes.
Who's an Asian man. It goes after black women a lot.
Yeah.
And goes after women in general. If you don't remember, there was an article during the campaign about how Bernie bros aren't real, basically. It was written by this guy named Glenn Greenwald. There's a lot of dickwads on this very leftist publication.
They're very difficult to keep track of, guys.
It's very difficult to keep track of. And it just reminds you, again, misogyny, sexism knows no political ideology.
It really doesn't. Asshole comes in all political denominations.
It turns out sexism and misogyny are so pervasive throughout society that it's not only one political group.
It's not.
And I want to read a thread that my Twitter friend Erica Heidewald wrote, because I think it's important.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "I could not be less surprised that an Intercept journalist called in a bomb threat to harass his ex-girlfriend. When women tell you that there is a toxic culture of misogyny on the left, you should listen to us. Ask any woman who publicly supported Hillary Clinton in the primaries if she's been harassed by leftist men." I'm raising my hand.
Yes. Hello.
She said, "The word Bernie bro was invented to describe the kind of men who were harassing us. The Intercept said Bernie bros weren't real. Now people will put Bernie bro right in their bio, which is a term specifically created to describe harassers." And I just want a quick aside on that.
Mm-hmm.
So we've talked about progressives and brocialists, which is just like iterations on that sort of
Bernie bro
nomenclature.
Right.
So I wrote about a progressive on my Twitter feed, and I had an acquaintance at best come in and tweet at me and take issue with the word. He said, "I don't understand using, quote, demeaning/dismissive epithets like progressives at the very moment you're calling for unity."
I've actually heard this a lot too.
I have so many problems with this.
Me too.
And I like went in on him.
Yeah.
And I was like, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say that this is a common thing that I hear. Like, oh, you're calling for unity. Like, you're all about this, like, you know, progressive democratic movement. But then you're, like, isolating and calling out these Bernie bros and you're basically putting them down. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, so
yes,
here's the thing. Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Because women are constantly being put on the defensive.
Right.
And other members of marginalized groups to push back on this harmful behavior.
Yep.
And so, men, if you are more offended by a term that describes harassment than the actual fucking harassment problem, you're part of the issue.
Right.
And it's not being divisive to call it out. It's actually being divisive for you to be okay with it and to pretend like that word to describe an abusive behavior is as bad, if not worse, than the abuse itself.
Well, absolutely. And I always find it very interesting. So, you know, because I have so many Twitter followers.
Yeah, she has almost 1,000.
I have almost 1,000. But anyway, what I found is that Republican dickwads tend to call me stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And progressive dickwads tend to call me a cunt.
Yeah. No, you guys, I've had to use blockchains on my Twitter. I just want to finish Erica's thread
because
I think
please.
It's on point. So she says, you know, Bernie bros put the shit in their bio. They're proud of it.
Right.
Not unlike the deplorables.
Right.
Right. So there's, you know, there's some parallels there. She said, consider for a second that we didn't talk about harassment because we're shrieking harpies, but because it's a real fucking problem. No part of me is surprised that the personality cultists who harass me for fun, so the leftists,
right,
would call in bomb threats to extract revenge on a woman. So pardon me if I don't join in on the cries of, oh, I can't believe a journalist for The Intercept called in a bomb threat. I can believe it. Women are telling you and have been telling you that there is rampant harassment among leftist men. Believe us. Online harassment is harassment, no matter what the harasser's political beliefs are. Harassment is a frequent precursor to violence.
Absolutely.
Don't take this bomb threat as some wacky aberration. It is a natural consequence of a toxic culture that celebrates harassment.
Exactly.
And actually, Vanity Fair had an interesting article this week on this.
Yes.
They said why the alt-left is a problem, too.
Yeah.
And this article said, much of the media spotlight has been on the, quote, alt-right. But the alt-left provides a mirror image distortion on the same loathing of Hillary Clinton, which I got into in my article.
Mm-hmm.
Rejection of quote-unquote identity politics and an itch for a reckoning.
Mm-hmm.
And Al Jardina, who's an interesting grassroots organizer, he tweeted today, the common traits of the alt-left and alt-right are recentering whiteness and maleness and erasing all others.
Right.
So again, you guys, TLDR, regardless of political ideology, there is still harmful bias and harassment and violence across all groups.
Absolutely, because like you just said, so it's about centering whiteness and maleness.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with political belief.
And I think that's why a lot of people were upset about Hillary winning, because she won without white men.
Exactly.
She won 75% of the black vote, 65% mm-hmm. of the Hispanic vote, a majority of the female vote, majority of the Asian American vote,
right,
if I believe. And she showed that you can win without white men.
Exactly. And that's scary.
And that scares them. And they're threatened by it. So
exactly.
Anyway, dickwad Jamie Kilstein, be wary especially of quote-unquote progressive men.
Yeah.
It's sad, but you have to.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's a problem.
It's a problem. And, you know, in our kind of closing thing here, it's feminist isn't a label, it's a way of living.
Yes.
Just, you know, if you call yourself a feminist, you better walk that walk.
Exactly. Can't talk the talk, you have to actually walk the walk.
Exactly.
Oh my god! You guys, we went through a lot, but
we did.
I had fun doing this in person.
This was great. This was really great.
We're gonna try to do this more often.
Yeah, this is really fun.
I have drank enough where I have to pee really bad.
Yeah, no, me too. And we're gonna go get brunch.
We're gonna get brunch, and then we'll be back on Thursday.
Exactly. All right, guys, thanks for listening.
For more information on today's podcast, please visit our website at www.hellbentpodcast.com. You'll find the articles we discussed, as well as additional resources. You can follow us on Twitter at HellbentPod and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/HellbentPodcast. Please listen to us on iTunes, subscribe, and rate us 5 stars, because true equality means rewarding female mediocrity as much as male mediocrity. You can follow Devin on Twitter at Devin Handy, and you can follow Sarah at Sarah Lerner.